Hey everyone, welcome to the first 3RT podcast. On this podcast, we're going to talk about the latest release of the Planet of the Apes franchise, which is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Want to just really give a good shout out to my wife, Chantel, who's going to be co-hosting with me today. And because this was kind of her idea, I had been talking about doing a podcast for a while, but you know, it wasn't until she said, you know what, how about we just see the movie and I'll just do it with you. And I was just like, okay. So there it is. I mean, that kind of was the genesis of this podcast. So just wanted to just give a shout out to my wife for sure about that and enjoy the conversation. So with that said, first impression, Shani, let me give you a little backup. You know, when she was talking about doing this podcast with me, I was like, oh, okay, sure. And we started talking about what movie we're going to actually start watching. And it, you know, she was like, yeah, what about the Apes movie? That Apes movie. I was like, wait a minute, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes? She's like, yeah, that one. I'm like, okay. I said, but you got to watch the first movie, though. You haven't even seen the first movie. She said, no. See, my wife has a thing about movies with animals in it, she won't watch them. So I'm like, what the frick? It's a movie about animals, about apes, man. They're animals. So, you know, the whole idea of you going to see a movie about this kind of seems kind of weird. But she was game. So, you know, got the phone, pulled up the Google Play, you know, found The Rise of the Apes. It was on sale, downloaded that sucker, and literally she watched it this morning.
Yes, you know, while I was washing dishes.
Watching Planet Rise of the Apes, right? And so, you know, about halfway through, she's like, I'm done, I can't do it. I said, but you gotta do it, you gotta finish strong. So she did finish strong, and she saw the entire movie this morning, and then a little bit later this afternoon, we went to go actually see the movie. So you are actually a little bit more fresh in watching the series than even I am. I haven't even seen Rise of the Apes for about a good year, so you probably remember more about it than I do at this point.
Too much more.
So, with that being said, you know, let me get your first impressions because, again, you're more fresh in this.
Well, first off, I think the cutest thing in the movie was definitely that little baby. Monkey. Are they monkeys? Are they apes? Are they gorillas?
They're simians.
Because it's a whole bunch of different hairy things running around, and in the jungle or world, LA, that was devastated. San Francisco, there it is. It was very violent, and you know, it was a good movie. I thought the storyline, like, you know, the themes of justice and injustice and all of that was there. But it was really, really violent. And I'm not sure, like, at the end, how it ended for me was, I didn't get it. Like,
It's the precursor to the war.
Is there gonna be more?
Yes.
Oh, God. I don't know if I can take...
Well, see, this is the precursor to the war. This is the precursor, this is the dawn of, you know, this era, when the simian race basically takes over Earth. Now, this is a new franchise. So, in the classic 60s version, they win. It's in the far off in the future. The monkeys win. They take over the world, right? And in this case, you know, the monkeys are so far winning because of the humans basically screwed themselves, you know, developing this virus, this retrovirus, or whatever this virus was.
Right.
Right, that's killed off probably. We don't know how many are left. All you know is that they're pockets, and basically there's going to be a war.
Right. And well, the whole the Earth and the humans dying thing, that kind of disturbed me as well, too. I would have liked to have seen, you know, that there's hope that the humans are going to, that the Earth is going to be better again. But it just ended on such kind of a gloomy note, and I was like, is that it?
Well, that's kind of it. That's the beginning, though. That's kind of it. You know, sort of is kind of it, because what they're saying is that, and that's what Caesar, and again, this is a very spoilerific, you know, podcast. So just in case you didn't know that, we haven't really said anything spoilery so far, but it's going to be spoilerific. Anyway, you know, that's kind of the whole deal. You know, Caesar pretty much says at the end, he's like, listen, the humans didn't do this. The humans didn't start this war.
But who is he going to fight? The apes?
No, he's going to fight the humans. Oh. He's going to have to. He's going to protect his family. Caesar, from the very beginning, has always wanted a family. Right?
Right.
So his family was the doctor, James Franco's character, that other veterinarian. You know, that was his family for the longest time. And then when they were gone, you know, or at least put like this, when it became threatened and he realized that, you know, people still looked at him as a monkey, but never respect him as Caesar, you know, that he left to start his own family, which is the reason why he took the virus and spread it against the other monkeys.
Yes.
And he created his own family. Right.
Oh.
So now, years later, this is like, what, 10 years later after the virus, you know, here is this family that he's created that has grown by leaps and bounds. His family has a son, you know, and some of his friends that he created now have sons and daughters and stuff like that. So here you go.
He's got this whole monkey clan.
So, hey, he got to protect it.
Yeah, right. And now, I totally
now
get that.
He recognizes not every human is evil.
It's evil.
But he knows enough about humanity to know that you don't trust.
You can't trust humans humanity. Like that. And I get that.
Trust humanity to do what humanity is going to do to save itself.
Exactly. So, and I get that. And and you know, I'm on the fence of who I'm for here. I mean, I think that it was a well written story. It was a very tight story, and the second one was on par, maybe if even better than one. And so that was really good. And here's what I appreciate, and I've told you this, here's what I appreciate about this ape movie. They made an attractive ape. to Caesar, you know, as far as having, he was good ape candy.
And he wasn't Koba. He wasn't Koba gnarly, ugly looking. He was gnarly.
That was my gnarly
ape.
He was just so unattractive. I think that's part of where his anger came from.
No.
He was just
I think he pretty much said it, you know, the torture and the
You know, which well, that was a very powerful scene. I mean, but I think what they did well is that they really kind of gave you some good reasoning for each component. Like, you understood Koba, you know, you understood that, especially with the scene when he was pointing to himself in the scars and he was like, human. I mean, that was very powerful. And you understood Caesar, and you also understood the humans, like, you know, the human, you know, element, especially them bringing in a disease that affects so many families, like, and just our desire to, you know, for our own survival and well-being. And I think that they really kind of show the points, the compelling points behind this action for everyone. And I thought that was, you know, good. And I loved I just was like, wow, you know, it seemed like they were able to organize themselves, the apes, and have these conversations and make political, you know, decisions in such a better way, more than what our government is able to do now. I think that they could take lessons from the apes.
Yes, let's take more lessons from Caesar, less from Koba.
Less from Koba.
Definitely, you know, much more organized.
And Caesar should have taken a lesson from Shaka Zulu, which he should have killed Koba when he had the chance. Even though apes don't kill apes, Koba was a problem, and he should have taken Koba out.
This is as Shakespearean or Julius Caesar as you're probably going to get with CGI creations and animals and stuff like that. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. And so all those little apes, they weren't people in ape costumes?
They were CGI.
They were people in
Andy
ape
Serkis,
costumes.
Who is the mastermind behind the King Kong and the King Kong movie,
which
the remake
as well.
With Jack Black.
I'm not going to probably see that.
You don't need to see it. No. It wasn't all that great. And then the Hobbit, you know, playing Gollum and Sméagol.
Yeah,
he's the genius behind
but
that.
But are they in the costume?
Well, they're motion capture suits, so they're like in wetsuits with little balls hanging off of them, and they use the technology to overlap all the graphics and stuff.
They're not
them.
Like in the gorilla suit on trading places.
No.
Okay.
No, but see, here's the thing though, and then because with the technology these days, I mean, everything looks so real. I mean,
there are
aspects of it that you can see were definitely phony, but they were so real and so lifelike, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying in hindsight, I was like, what Andy Serkis and even the guy that played Koba and the one that played Caesar's son.
Really good.
What he was able to do with his eyes, what they were able to express.
The emotion was incredible.
The anger, the sadness, the love, the hurt, the pain, you know, the excitement, whatever that was, you know, the tenderness. You know, all that they were expressed through their eyes was absolutely fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was really like, so I was surprised because I don't go to the movies as much as Kyrie, but I was surprised how many people were at the movies for this matinee. Like it was a good crowd, and it was a mixed crowd. I mean, you had grandmas and children. Some children I thought were a little too young to be in the movie, but it was a cross mixture, and I was really shocked that so many people came to see the monkeys. But
Hey, listen, like I said, I mean, there were a couple older ladies behind us. You know, they were talking about the 60s series. You know, they were talking about Cornelius and some of the other people. I mean, it was really kind of cool because, you know, with all the elements they've kind of brought in, not only from the original series, but just the new elements they brought in just for this series. I mean, because there was a movie, it might have been 70s, like, I can't remember at this time, and I should have probably done a little more research beforehand, but it was actually about the rise of the Planet of the Apes in Caesar. It was kind of like this dystopian future in the past.
So Caesar is an old character?
Caesar is an established character in the Planet of the Apes lore, but in the original series, it was like I can't remember the name of the movie on the top of my head, you know, and I'll put it probably in the show notes or something like that. But the point was, Caesar's character was already well developed, but it was a dystopian kind of future where apes, you know, more intelligent apes were herded and kept in like concentration camps and things of that nature. And Caesar basically threw that violence and that pain and that hurt and in this camp was able to rise to power and basically take over the camps and start his own army, which ultimately led up into the future where Charlton Heston's character, you know, in the original series landed, you know, maybe hundreds of years later. I can't remember, maybe dozens, but I think it's hundreds or some years later where the apes had finally taken over. They're done. It's no longer a question of them rising. They've won. Right.
Is that what's going to happen? Are they going to win?
And it took place in the sense that Cornelius and, I'm missing the girl's name, the girl monkey's name, but they actually were in a spaceship and went back in time.
Oh, Lord.
And they had the baby in the past.
I see, I don't so like those.
So it was kind of this circular time kind of looked at.
Yeah.
No, trust me, if you would have seen it during
like
the time,
all that stuff.
It made so much sense. And
I
it was
know,
like
but
such
it's just kind of confusing.
All right, we're going to stay away from the time thing. But anyway, to Dawn of the Apes. I mean, it was really kind of cool, again, just to kind of see their culture and how they really developed it and how they became this entity in itself, this you know homogeneous, you know, group of simians all living together in this community, you know, in the hills of in the hills and mountains of San Francisco or whatever, and how they were able just to develop all of this, you know, without electricity, without anything that the normal human population would need in order to build a community.
I thought, too, what was one of the things that I thought was interesting to me was they had such a hatred and a distrust, and I would say a dislike of humans, but their way of life, they used so many things that Caesar did learn from humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so as he taught them how to speak, how to read, they ate off of these wonderful plant bowls and, you know, how to form, you know, houses and things of that nature. What he didn't share with them, you know, especially that they didn't have just like humans, that whole humans they're not all mean and they're not all, you know, bad. It just seemed like humans were all this one way.
Well, see,
and I think he got to the end where he realized, hey, humans aren't all bad.
Well, I think it was a combination of things. He already had this human experience prior to him starting his own, you know, family. So he had that in. But there was a, but I think based on the timeline of the movie, there was a 10-year period after the events of the first movie between that one and the events, and then where we catch up 10 years later with his established community.
Right.
So we don't know what their interaction really with the humans were.
Right.
You know, before that, we know it probably was not friendly.
Right.
In general, because there seemed to be a lot of obviously a lot of turmoil and. You know, governments falling and probably anarchy, etc. So, you know, during that period of time while humanity was trying to save itself, you know, they probably had some pretty nasty run-ins with humans during that period of time. Right. So their distrust of humans is probably not just because, you know, somebody said humans are bad. That's probably because humans were pretty bad to them,
right.
You know, up until a certain point. And then prior to that, you know, the start of the movie, they hadn't seen any humans for about a couple of years, so they thought they'd all died off.
Yeah.
Right? But with that being said, you know, I think the only reason why, you know, the humans, especially the ones they ran into later, even survived at all, is because of the fact that Caesar had that experience with humans that not all humans are evil.
Right.
You know, they may be misguided, they may do things and all that, you know, things that are kind of bad, but not all of them are that way. And there was that, I wouldn't say benefit of doubt, but just like not the first shoot first, you know, or eat first or whatever reaction, and then, you know, and then deal with the consequences later. It was kind of like thought through just a little bit more with a little bit more compassion than maybe Koba would have had.
Exactly, because he just, you know, he was, So what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene? I'd say my favorite scene, truthfully, in the entire movie was... that's a good one. I think, truthfully, I think that my favorite scene was the one where Caesar was kind of just talking, trying to talk with his son, right? And his son just kept kind of rebuffing him, like, Dad, you don't know anything.
Right.
And Caesar's kind of like, you punk kid, come on, man.
Right.
You know, I'm your dad, you know, I'm trying to help you out here. And he just kind of keeps rebuffing him. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of funny because, you know, as someone who was a teen not too long ago, you know, and having those kind of, I would say, arguments or disagreements or conflicts with my parents, you know, in the past, it kind of just struck that chord in me that whether you're ape or human, these kind of things, teenagers are still teenagers. You know, they still think they know it all. They still think they have, you know, all the answers. And sometimes there's that, hey, you know, your dad has kind of been there before you.
Mm-hmm.
You may just kind of want to listen. You know, you still got to do your own thing at the end of the day. And I think his son kind of learned that, you know, he's still his own person.
Right.
But there's so many great qualities of his dad that, you know, until he thought he was gone, he didn't realize, he didn't understand. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
And leading with integrity and, you know, leading with honor, which is something that obviously Koba could not do.
He could not do. Yeah, the lesson of Planet of the Apes is it Planet of the Apes?
This Dawn one is Dawn of the Apes. Apes. Yeah, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, listen to your parents. Yeah, I think that was a good lesson because he could have saved a lot of apes and humans from all that.
But, you know, what I also liked about it, which is, you know, it seems like on the negative stamps, but just what gave this movie so much more color was the whole backdrop in the political maneuverings of Koba.
Yeah.
And how he set up this revolution and how he set up all of these issues that obviously affected the movie down the line, especially the war. The battle that happened because the war is coming.
Right.
But the battle that happened at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, I thought, you know, how he said that, just because, like you said, this is a character that in the first movie was like his right-hand man. That was like his dog.
Yeah.
That was his man. You know, and treated him like a brother because that's how he felt.
Even in the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
When he saves him from the bear. Right.
Koba is that guy. And so, to the betrayal of Koba and how his hurt and pain and anger and all these things that you kind of felt were kind of subsided over years really hadn't. Mm-hmm. It just was bottled away until he had a place to let it out.
Right. Well, plus, I don't think that they weren't confronted with that because the movie started out with they hadn't seen humans for so long.
That's what I'm saying.
You know? And, I mean, so he was acting based on his experience.
That's correct.
You know, Caesar was acting based on his experience. But Koba was acting based on his experience. And part of me, I don't fault Koba for it. Like, I mean, the truth is that human beings are not going to have a bunch of apes and monkeys running around. I mean, it's great to look at the apes and monkeys. I went through a stage where I wanted a little monkey. You know, I really wanted a monkey. And I couldn't help but think about Michael Jackson when I was watching this movie, you know, and his little, you know,
Bubbles.
Bubbles. You know, I thought about Bubbles. I mean, you know, they do have rest those peace, scenes Bubbles. Where, you know, like when she's giving birth to the little monkey and the little monkey's playing and everything. And even how Koba tricked the humans and then blew them away because there's something in us. We love those monkeys.
Yeah.
You know, they're cute. They're, well, you know, they're, Koba just wasn't cute. Some you know, and that big hairy red thing. I like
it's
her.
It's an orangutan.
Okay, that was not
listen,
cute.
Big shout outs to Maurice, who in this movie, I swear to God, I think that was probably one of the most fun and interesting characters in this movie. This orangutan who didn't say a whole bunch. Didn't even move a whole bunch.
But
even in his non-movement and even just the small gestures that he did, the actor that played Maurice, I swear to God, I gotta find out who played that character.
Did a great job. And you know what? Bless that actor. You know, Maurice was the one who was in charge of teaching the kids.
That's
you
right.
know, and so, you know, that's just in and of itself,
and
like, great.
Stepped in to help, you know, to make sure the son didn't get killed by
You know,
Koba.
I love, but, you know, my point is we go to the zoo to see the monkeys, but there's no way that we're going to let the monkeys rule the earth.
Well, in this case, they don't have much of a chance. They don't have much of a choice in this case. The humans. They don't have a choice in this, and I think that's the whole point.
I'm waiting for our army. Our army, our navy.
And I think at the end of this movie, that's what they said. That's what's coming.
That's what's coming. I don't see how the apes are going to survive that. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Caesar.
I guess, you know, to the next point, I mean, really is maybe the next movie, if it's a trilogy or more. You know, the next movie has got to be War of the Planet Apes. Battle of the Planet Apes.
Right.
Or something along those lines, because there's no way that the next movie doesn't start off with a mega battle scene.
A mega battle. I mean, in an ideal world, it would really be nice if ape and man could live together in peace and harmony. But it is just not going to happen. First of all, they're just way too big and too scary. You know, like, when they stand up and roar... Seriously.
Well, you know
what? They're, you know, big, and they're emotional.
Well, I'm sure when, you know, when the last set of beings that kind of ruled this earth, you know, could have been those Cro-Magnon, those Apians, you know, saw us Homo sapiens coming and they're looking at us with, you know, our spears and our fire or whatever, and we're going to battle. They probably thought we were the most fearsome thing they'd ever saw, too. So the point is, sometimes evolution, even if it's forced, you know, favors the most evolved. And in this case, you got a being like the apes that are not only physically superior.
Right.
I'm not saying they're necessarily mentally superior, because it doesn't seem they were necessarily mentally superior. I think they seem to be on par. But by far, I think one of the actors said, he's like, listen, these guys, they don't need heat. They don't need the light. They don't need shelter in the same way that we do. I said, they got us beat just by their pure genetic superiority of the fact that they can live in the land, in the nature, without any of that other stuff. No problem.
Right.
But they're just as smart as you. They're just as conniving. They're just as strategically, you know, capable as you are. And because we take for granted that... Or, you know, think that, oh, they're stupid monkeys that, oh, we can just do whatever you want. Koba proved. He's like, oh, okay.
Let me be the stupid monkey.
But, you know, but that's going to be your downfall.
Yeah.
And I think, and that is their strength.
Yeah.
You know, and while I don't think the next set of humans that come to this battle are going to be as stupid from that standpoint, I think from the standpoint of their strength, the fact that now they have all that arsenal that was left behind.
Yes.
They have all that arsenal, and they have the will to fight now.
The will to fight.
That it's not even a question who's going to win.
Right. I learned a new way of saying, like, thank you, or what is it when they reach out their hand?
Oh, that submissive kind of like,
we're going to use
asking
that.
Asking
for approval, permission. Yes. Right. It was a good movie. It was very
violent. I'm
making
the kids do that to me from now on. Yes, I'm like, oh, you want ice cream?
Yes.
Put out the hand.
It was, you know, the fighting scenes, it was very real. I don't know if I necessarily should watch those things in a public space.
Yeah, you were quite distressed.
Because, and I'm just going to say, after watching the planet, the rise of the, no, first
the
I
rise.
Started out with Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Apes,
right.
And then the Dawn. Like, back to back, I came home, I told Kyrie, I said, I have to just go find my babies, curl up, and go to sleep. It was just, it wore me out. It was very, you know, your emotions were heightened all the time, and I just had this terrible fear that something bad was going to happen to, you know, Caesar, or the little baby, or the son. I really didn't care about the son too much. Like,
well,
I just didn't really care about him too much.
Well, he was a transitional character. He was just there to kind of sort of help move one story along
right.
to the next.
I mean, maybe I'll care more,
and in that effort, he served this purpose, because he was able to allow you to see Caesar's heart, to see his anger, to see his concern, to see, you know, all his love that he has for his people. And he was able to do that through his son, his character of his son, and even, you know, and sons, really, because I mean, it started, you know, towards the beginning, you see the birth of his second son. So, you know.
Yeah, Caesar's just a good guy. I really liked how they didn't have Caesar as, like, you know, gigolo. You know, like, you know, I'm just saying.
And
you
he could have.
Caesar represents many things.
I mean,
he could have had, you know.
He's basically the Jesus of the Simian race.
He he's revolutionary. He's compassionate. He's fair. He's just. You know, he has a strong hand when he needs to. But he's also right there. He, whatever little monkey work that needed to be done, he was willing to do it. You know, as well for himself, so he wasn't just above the people, you know.
Well, I thought that was kind of cool too, in the sense that what they did and what they showed was that not only were they have a culture, but there was still that aspect of them that really actually was still primal and like, so that you had the only way that the group, even as intelligent as they were, the only way they'd follow you was if you were strongest.
But I think that at the end, and this is kind of like what I was a little confused about. I mean, my point is with Caesar is like the type of guy that, you know, you want for your daughters. I mean, not, you know, in monkey form, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, like, I love Caesar.
That would
Caesar,
be awkward.
It would be very awkward.
You're like, Leela, really?
Really?
Really? I mean, just a little cuter.
Yeah. But, you know, like, Caesar, his heart, you know, and his, he just had such integrity about himself.
He seemed to be more well emotionally developed.
Just well emotionally developed. I mean, he was able to control his emotions when I wanted him to just holler off and kill him, you know, and he struggled with that, and I could appreciate that. And I love those, that we saw the very tender and vulnerable side with him when he was dealing with his wife, you know, and their son, and he was, you know, and that scene, it was so brief, you know, when she was on, she knew she was sick, but she also knew that, you know, he had this serious leader monkey business to do and everything, and that just one moment when she just gave him a hug, I mean, it just made me think of, like, you and me, and it was just such a tender moment, you know?
I saw you reached over and you grabbed me, and I was like, okay. I was like, babe, I said, you're ruining, I'm loving this, but don't get too all up in my face now, because I'm trying to watch the movie now.
So, you know, and I love that they had him like a one monkey woman person, and a whole little family with his monkeys and all that. I really appreciated that. And I think at the end, or at least my takeaway was, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, because I know that monkeys follow the strongest person. And but I think that there's a part of me that wants to believe that even if Koba defeated him physically, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I want to believe that the other monkeys would still have chosen him as their leader.
But here's the thing. And this,
because
and this,
the way
and
they bowed at him at the end, was it, did that not signify like...
Well, no, because there's two types of leaders. They said, do you want to be feared or do you want to be loved, right? Caesar was loved. Koba was feared.
Yeah.
But fear is as equal as motivator as love is. And I think that was the point. The point was, there were those that would follow Koba to the death just because of the fact that they feared him. And they were feared what he could do.
Right.
Regardless of the fact that, you know, if you got four or five of them together, you could probably take out Koba. But that wasn't the point.
Right.
That's not how they work. Because
they weren't even helping him. It's like, you got to do this yourself.
The point was, though, that they were able to... Once everything was said and done, I think, you know, there was that part that just realized that you, Caesar, have to take this back.
Yeah.
And it's on you to do
it's
that.
On
we
you
can't
to
help
that.
You.
Right.
You know, we will follow whoever wins this, and that's just the way it's going to have to be, because that's our way.
Gosh.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that was the thing that, at the end of the day, I think, was what, you know...
he knew.
Yeah, that's what he knew. So it wasn't a question. That's why he said he had to get his strength back.
He had to get his strength
back. That was the only way he was going to be able to at least stop the battle. The war was here. But he said at least that's the only way he could stop this particular battle and save more people than what Koba would have done. And, Koba would have just slaughtered them all, for the most part, at the end of the day. And, you know, and Caesar just being, you know, upstanding and just kind of saying, hey, listen, you know, we started this war. The humans didn't do this. The apes started the war.
How did they start the war?
Koba. Koba is the one that led the battle against the settlement. He started that war.
Oh, yeah.
Caesar had defused it. He had basically was making peace. He said this was basically our last chance.
Right, to make peace.
To make peace.
Right.
He said, because if not, that's it. It's over. There's going to be war.
Right.
Koba, in his machination, started a war.
Right.
And so that's why he said, basically, you know, the war's here because... the apes can't run, and the humans, they'll never forgive them.
Right.
They'll never forgive them.
But
for what
why can't the apes run?
Because it's their home. Where are they going to run to? The point was, it's not even a question. That's
run
their
to
home.
Another point. It's all the. A lot of humans are dead and unorganized.
I think he's ultimately thinking strategically, and the point is, at the end of the day, he can probably, at this point, still maneuver a way to get, I guess, if you want to call it the high ground, so that he can set himself up so that he can bring them into his land and be able to destroy them on his land, as opposed to going someplace else where he doesn't know, where he doesn't have the reinforcements, where he doesn't know the land as well, and having to deal with it at a point. Because ultimately what that means is they're going to be hunted down and killed. And he's like, you know what? I'd rather stand here knowing where I am, what's here, and be able to defend myself here, as opposed to go somewhere else and not be able to just be on a run. Mm-hmm. I think he's like, I'm done. The being on a run is over. Mm-hmm. That's never happening again.
Here's what I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I probably would have chosen to stay with the monkeys.
Who?
Me. When you wanted to stay with the monkeys.
Do I want to stay with the monkeys?
Yeah, like when he was like, go, you know, I would have wanted to stay with the monkeys.
Listen, man.
I mean, wouldn't you have wanted to stay with the monkeys?
I'm getting the hell up out of there.
But, I mean, where are you going to? Like, the Earth is devastated.
The last thing you want to do is be in the middle of that war when it's monkey in a fit of rage, trying to figure out who's friend or foe.
Now,
who needs all that?
They set up a pretty nice community.
They probably did. You know,
housing,
school. I would just say... it's probably,
you know, they
best
had jewelry.
As
she
a
had
human,
her little flower jewelry.
Because that guy, I can't remember his name to save my life right now, but that guy, he was basically in the middle. You know, he was a friend of the apes, but he was also a human who wants to see them survive too. He's right in the middle.
Yeah,
there's no way.
I felt right in the middle.
There's no way he could do what he needed to do by being in the middle of all that,
right?
And specifically protect his son, who he cared about, you know, tremendously.
Very much.
You know,
yeah.
Just as Caesar cares about his son,
mm-hmm.
as that dude cared about Asher,
right?
You know that
right. Rocket.
Yeah, Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
That he cared about his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these people. It's like if you were looking at the same.
The
same
the
thing on different sides of the coin.
Yeah, which
like
was brilliant.
Thing.
It was brilliant. It was
you know,
brilliant.
These things, the monkeys and the humans cared about their family.
It was brilliant.
You know,
yeah.
Even Gary Oldman's character, right?
Who
you
is
know,
that?
Gary Oldman character, the guy with the glasses and the mustache and beard.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Even his character.
Yeah.
You know, his character was, at the end of the day, he was angry, he was upset, he was mad,
uh-huh.
and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, when that iPad finally turned on, when they got the electricity back on, and the iPad turned on, and he saw his family, that showed why he was doing what he was doing.
Exactly.
He was doing it out of pain of losing his family and protecting what he had left. Mm-hmm. No different from Caesar.
Right.
You know, he gained his family. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to see that be lost. Mm-hmm. You know, he's protecting his family. That's that's a tribal thing to do. Right. That's a normal, familial human thing to do. But now it's species. It's special in the sense that now it's human against apes. Humans got to protect the apes. Humans have to protect humans, and apes got to protect the apes.
Now, what would be interesting to this whole scenario is if we threw some aliens in it. Now, would humans and apes come together to defeat the aliens?
I think at that point they would have a common enemy, and I think they would have to rise up.
They would rise up against
It would be like in Pacific Rim where all of a sudden the humans, they stopped all their wars, got themselves together, and were able to develop these big mech machines so that they could fight this alien invasion.
Yeah. So. Well, I thought it was a great movie. I thank you for exposing me to the ape world. Somehow I managed to to not see any of it in my childhood because I don't like it when bad things happen to animals.
Right. Well, I thank you also for being a good sport and watching the movie literally back to back. And
I won't do that next time.
Probably not. But just prepare yourself for that. Because quite frankly, I think the one thing I really want you to see are the Star Wars movies. Because, you know, with Episode 7 coming out in a couple of years.
Is Morse coming out? I thought it was finished.
No, baby. The new trilogy is about to start soon. And when that happens, so I need you to kind of get up on the Star Wars lore so that you can kind of talk to it from that. And there's a lot there, so you have time. And anyway, that's for another day. We're getting kind of long on this podcast, so we're gonna end this podcast. And I thank you,
my wife, face Shani. Deflated with the Star Wars.
I'm gonna get her up to speed though.
We do wanna say thank you to Sherelle, my sister, as the babysitter. So yeah, thanks, yes, so we could go out and see the movie.
Yes, indeed. So thank you very much, and till next time. Vaya con Dios.